Today's study is number 7 in the series of studies I am calling Basic Bible Comprehension. In today's study, we want to deal again with the important issue of rightly dividing the Word of Truth, the Bible, into its two distinct portions in view of the two different programs that God talks about in His Word. In particular, we want to look once again at the fact that our Lord's earthly ministry, as recorded in the 4 Gospel accounts, was a ministry that pertained to God's program with Israel, and that God's program with us today, the Church, the Body of Christ, was not in effect when our Lord was here on this earth. If we are going to rightly divide the Word of Truth properly, we need to clearly recognize this. Now, we saw the reality of this in our last study by looking at the things the Lord Himself said about His ministry when He was here on the earth. We saw how that He was a minister of the circumcision, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, just as declared in Romans 15:8. We saw how that He Himself declared that He was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. Now, folks, statements like these ought to make it clear to us that our Lord's earthly ministry pertained to God's program with Israel, and that the present dispensation of God's grace to us Gentiles was not in effect at that time. Now, though we saw this in our last study, I would like to have us understand and appreciate it even more. So in today's study, I want us to look once again at the Gospel accounts. But this time, I want us to see that the 4 Gospels pick up where the Old Testament Scriptures leave off. God's program with Israel is in view in both. A new program or dispensation doesn't begin with Matthew's Gospel. Instead, the 4 Gospels describe the arrival of the final climactic stages in God's program with Israel that the prophets had foretold about. The 4 Gospels need to be thought of by us as the continuation of what is recorded in the Old Testament Scriptures. And folks, this is something that we really need to understand. You know, in view of the fact that the 4 Gospels are the beginning of what we commonly call the New Testament Scriptures, many Christians think that God's new program with the Church, the Body of Christ, gets itself started in Matthew's Gospel. But in truth, folks, calling Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John New Testament Scriptures really isn't accurate. The New Testament wasn't even made by God until Christ died on the cross. Therefore, the Lord lived His earthly ministry under the law, or the Old Testament. And He taught the law during His earthly ministry, just as the Gospel accounts testify to. So in truth, they are really part of the Old Testament Scriptures, and they deal with the same program, Israel's program, that is dealt with in Genesis through Malachi. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and even the opening chapters of the book of Acts do not record the start of a new program by God. They do not describe the beginning of God's new program with the Church, the Body of Christ. Rather, they record the continuation of God's program with Israel as set forth in Genesis through Malachi. To be more specific, the Gospels record the arrival of the final climactic stages of God's program with Israel that the prophets had foretold about, the time when their Messiah would be among them, and the time when their long-awaited kingdom of heaven would be proclaimed to them to be at hand. Okay, let's begin to look at the fact that the Gospels pick up Israel's program where the Old Testament left off by first of all taking note of what God was doing in His program with Israel between the book of Malachi and Matthew's Gospel. Take your Bible and turn with me in your Bible to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. And what I want us to see here in Amos chapter 8 is a prophecy that God gave through Amos about a time that was coming in His program with Israel in which the nation of Israel was going to experience a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. A time was coming in God's program with Israel in which He was going to go silent to the nation Israel. And it was going to be an extended period of time. And what we need to understand and appreciate, folks, is that between Malachi and Matthew is when this period of time, when God went silent to the nation Israel, that's when it took place. And you know, in your Bible, you have a sort of blank page between Malachi and Matthew. And you ought to think about that blank page as representing this time that we're going to read about now in Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, and let's read verse 11 and verse 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now this wasn't going on in Amos's day, and it wasn't going to take place immediately after Amos concluded his prophecies. But as God's program with Israel moved on beyond Amos's time, this time was eventually going to come upon the nation. And as it says once again in verse 11, it would be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. There wasn't going to be any prophet functioning in Israel for a great period of time during which this famine was experienced. There would not be any people like Amos prophesying in the land of Israel. God once again would go silent to them. Now, once again, the time when this period of silence came upon the nation is what we have between the books of Malachi and Matthew. Malachi was the last of the prophets that God spoke to Israel through before he went silent. Now, folks, this great time of God's silence to Israel was going to end when two particular things took place. It would end when the Messiah arrived, and when a very special prophet was raised up by God, through whom he would once again resume speaking to them. And I want you to look at this with me. Turn also now in your Bible, if you would, to Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. And here in Micah chapter 5, this time of God going silent to the nation is once again referred to. But when Micah talks about it, God through Micah declares that it's going to be in effect until a certain event takes place. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, this is a verse you're probably very familiar with. It's a verse in which the very birthplace of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is prophesied about. But I want you to notice that as God, through Micah, sets that information forth to the nation Israel, he also declares that when the Messiah comes forth, that's when the great period of time in which God gives up his people and goes silent to them, that's when it'll end. Look at what he goes on and says in verse 3. Therefore will he give them up. God's going to give the nation Israel up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Once the Messiah is born in the land of Israel, then the time for God to resume speaking to his people will have arrived. But that time of silence, that time of the famine of the hearing of the word of God, was going to be in effect in Israel from the time Malachi stopped speaking until the Messiah had arrived in the land. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there were two particular things that needed to take place. The first one is, as indicated here in Micah 5, the arrival of the Messiah. The second thing, though, was the arrival also of a very special prophet. And the reason why this prophet was so special is that because God would resume speaking to the nation Israel through him. Come over to Malachi chapter 3 and note this issue. Malachi was the last of the prophets through whom God spoke to Israel before he went silent. And interestingly enough, one of the last things God said to Israel through Malachi was for them to listen for the coming of this prophet. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. There's a special messenger coming that's going to prepare the way of the Lord. He's going to prepare the way of the Messiah. He's going to be there, therefore, at the same time the Messiah is there, but he's going to be God's messenger. God's going to begin speaking once again to his people following the time of silence, following the period of time which there was a famine of the hearing the word of the Lord. He's going to begin speaking to them again through this very special prophet. Now, this very special prophet that's referred to here is John the Baptist, and we'll take more close note on that in just a moment here. But I also want you to notice in these passages that once the Messiah and the special prophet have come, notice that then the final climactic stages of God's program with Israel will be upon them. Look at that here in Malachi chapter 3. After declaring the issue of the coming of this very special prophet in verse 1, and the fact that he will prepare the way of the Lord, verse 2 goes on to say, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he shall appear? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years." Once the Messiah is present in the land, and once this very special prophet is announcing the Messiah's arrival, and God is once again speaking to Israel through his ministry, the issue in God's program with Israel will be that the final climactic stages of God's program with them have arrived. The Messiah will come to purge his nation, as described here, and to put the nation of Israel in the position whereby they can fulfill the program and purpose that God has for them. Folks, when John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene in Israel, it was the end of God's silence to Israel that Amos had foretold of, and it was the beginning of the final climactic stages in God's program with Israel. And folks, this is what the four Gospels record and describe. In the opening chapters of each of the four Gospels, the ministry of John the Baptist to Israel is set forth and described. Let's look at that by turning to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. At the end of Malachi's Gospel, or Malachi's prophecy, I should say, God went silent to Israel. And what was prophesied about back in Amos chapter 8 began to come to pass. When John the Baptist comes on the scene, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 becomes fulfilled, and God resumes speaking to the nation of Israel. And the message that John has to proclaim to the nation Israel is to announce the arrival of the final climactic stage in God's program with them. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John began to announce to Israel that the final climactic stage of their program has arrived, and he did that by preaching to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is the issue once again of what God had covenanted to establish in Israel when he established them as his great nation through whom the rest of the world would be blessed. They would be a great nation because he would be ruling and reigning in the midst of them, and God's kingdom would be established on this earth and vested in them and administrated through them to the rest of the world. And John is now saying that all that the prophet had spoken about and said was coming, John began to announce that it was at hand. Therefore, the final climactic stages in Israel's program were dawning upon them as John's ministry began to get itself underway. But John also manifested Christ to Israel in fulfillment of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Turn very quickly with me, if you would, to John's Gospel and chapter 1, and notice that John declares over here that one of the main purposes of his ministry, along with announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, was to manifest Christ to Israel. John chapter 1 and verse 31. John the Baptist said, "And I knew him not," referring to Christ, "but that he," Christ, "should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." John fulfilled Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 by manifesting Christ to Israel through water baptism. Now, once Christ was manifested to Israel, then he himself took over the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And as we've already seen, throughout the Lord's ministry, he functioned as the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. He ministered to Israel and readied his nation for the consummation of God's program with them. Folks, once again, this is what our Lord's earthly ministry is all about. And this is what the gospel accounts record and describe. This present dispensation of God's grace to us Gentiles that we live in today is not the subject matter of the four gospels. Rather, the four gospels pick up Israel's program where Malachi left it off. And between Malachi and Matthew, you have the fulfillment of Amos chapter 8, the famine of the hearing of the word of God to Israel. Let that blank page in your Bible between Malachi chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 1 represent that period of silence, and appreciate the fact that following that period of silence, God resumed speaking to his people Israel, and the final climactic stage in their program came upon them through the ministry of John the Baptist and the presence of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record that period of time. Now, I would also like you to realize that it was necessary for God to have four accounts written describing Christ's earthly ministry to Israel, because when he foretold them in the prophets about Christ's coming and told them to look for him, he told them to behold their Messiah in four very special ways. I want you to look with me at this. Come back to the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, he was also one of the final prophets that God utilized to speak to Israel before the period of silence came upon them between Malachi and Matthew. Come back to Zechariah just before Malachi, and since the next time God was going to be speaking to Israel was when the Messiah was present in the land, God, through Zechariah, told Israel that they needed to look for and look at their Messiah in four very special ways. And the reason why there are four gospel accounts describing the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is because each one of those gospel accounts matches up with one of the four ways here in Zechariah that God told Israel to behold their Messiah. Turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Now, all we have time to do in this study is to simply read the verse in which the declaration regarding the Messiah is made. You can spend some time on your own and examine the context around these verses and appreciate this issue even more. But let's take note of them now and then appreciate which one of the gospel accounts matches up with each one of these four declarations here in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, first of all, and verse 8. "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Now, the reference in the last part of verse 8 there to my servant the branch. That's a reference to the Messiah in view of the Davidic covenant and things that had been previously described concerning David and that Davidic covenant and the Messiah being the son of David. Now, I want you to take particular note of the expression that you have there in verse 8. The Lord says, "Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." All right, now just hold that in your thinking for a moment. Come over to chapter 6 here in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 6, and look at verse 12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Now here's another reference to the Messiah, the branch. But notice this time, God tells Israel to behold the man whose name is the branch. Back in chapter 3, it's behold my servant, the branch. Here in chapter 6, it's behold the man whose name is the branch. All right, hold that in your thinking for a moment. Come to chapter 9 here in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." All right, the Messiah is once again being spoken about in this verse here. And this time Israel is told to behold thy king cometh unto thee. My servant the branch, chapter 3. The man whose name is the branch, chapter 6. And now, thy king, here in chapter 9. One more time. Come over to chapter 13 here in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." This is also a reference to the Messiah. But notice here that the Messiah is referred to as my shepherd, and in particular he's called the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Now folks, here in Zechariah there are these four declarations to the nation Israel about the Messiah. And they're told to behold their Messiah in these four particular ways. Once again, Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8, they're told to behold my servant, the branch. In Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, they're told to behold the man whose name is the branch. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, they're told to behold their king. And Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, they're to behold the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Four declarations to Israel regarding beholding their Messiah. And folks, there are four gospel accounts because each one of those gospel accounts presents the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to Israel in accordance with one of these four ways. Now, let's quickly come to the beginning of each one of the gospel accounts and match up the gospel account with the particular declaration here in Zechariah that it's in line with. Come to Matthew chapter 1, and you'll notice that Matthew chapter 1 begins with the royal genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham," and then his royal genealogy follows. Matthew's gospel matches up with the declaration in Zechariah 9:9 for Israel to behold their king. Come over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and you'll notice that Mark's gospel begins with no genealogy of any kind, or without an account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ or anything like that. It immediately begins with his ministry. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and then you have an immediate account of John the Baptist's ministry, and an immediate account of the entering of the Lord into his ministry. Mark's gospel matches up with Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8, when Israel is told to behold my servant, the branch. Mark's gospel describes the Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah's servant. Come very quickly to Luke's gospel, and notice Luke opens up with a detailed account of the arrival of John the Baptist, and it also gives a detailed account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it also gives a genealogy in chapter 3 that takes the Lord Jesus Christ all the way back to Adam. Luke's gospel matches up with the declaration in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12 for Israel to behold the man whose name is the branch. Luke sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man in connection with Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12. And the final gospel account, John's gospel, John chapter 1, the opening verses of John chapter 1 set forth the divinity, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They set forth his divine pedigree, so to speak. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John's gospel fulfills Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. Behold the man that is my fellow, God's own fellow, God manifest in the flesh. Four gospel accounts to match up with the four declarations in Zechariah for Israel to behold their Messiah in four particular ways. Folks, once again, we today live in the dispensation of God's grace to us Gentiles. God suspended his program with Israel and brought in this new and different dispensation when he sent the Lord Jesus Christ back from heaven and raised up Paul as a brand new apostle and revealed this to him. However, prior to that epoch-making event, God's program with Israel was in effect, just as we've been seeing. And we need to recognize the reality of this and make sure that we understand that the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John pertain to God's program with Israel and do not describe God's program with us today, the Church, the Body of Christ. It's in Paul's epistles that God sets forth his program for this dispensation of his grace. Well, folks, this brings us to the close of another broadcast. I'm glad you were able to join us, and I hope you'll be able to join us next week at the same time. If you would like a cassette tape copy of today's study, or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, simply send us a note with your request. The number of today's study to request is number 107.